All right, so I thought that Sunday, I'd like to get your thoughts about this. I thought Sunday was a really bad look for college football. I thought that this is right there firmly in the lap of the College Football Playoff Committee, delaying the, you know, getting the top 25 announcement out there before we could get to the point where we know what the bowl pairings are. I thought it made, and well, they made themselves look bad, but for the, you know, those fans from that support the Tennessee Vols, with all of their posts and stuff, we don't want to come to Nashville and all that. I'm thinking to myself, you know, remember, you were 1-4. You got beat by Georgia State and BYU. You should be very fortunate whatever bowl game you end up in. I just thought it was a bad look, period, and I hope that college football does something about it, because to me, the way they drug this out this week, it created too many opportunities for 2+ hours of so much negativity that was out there.
Yeah, and we've seen this happen before, and I guess that's what happens when you allow teams to sort of have a say in what their postseason destinations are. You know, it's all about trying to create as many good matchups as possible, put as many teams in as many places as they want, you know, that they want to be, as you can find, and pair bowls with teams that they want. So it's there's a lot of uncertainty in it because of that. I think that leads to a lot of what you're talking about, and it makes what should be a positive thing for most people sort of leads people to kind of weighing their options and deciding what they do and don't want. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from. So it's not what you want to see. And like you said, I think most fans out there, when their team's going to a bowl game, especially a team like Tennessee that came back from a 1-4 start, yeah, I think the bottom line is just going to a bowl game. But when you have choices, everybody's going to weigh them against each other. And I guess that leads to some of that. But yeah, I think Tennessee would have been just as well off in Nashville as Jacksonville, and either one would have been a fine way to end their season after the way they started.
You know, we think about this. We're a week away from the December signing period, and, you know, it's great when you've got a solid recruiting class. If you're talking about top 20, that's what we're looking at for Tennessee right now. But the problem is, if you're not already at the top of the list and you got teams that are ahead of you inside your own division, how do you make up for that?
Well, yeah, it's at this point, it's about, you know, a lot of the class is sort of, you are what you are at this point. There's only so much you can do this late in the game to change things, and especially to get in the mix with players that you haven't been recruiting for a long time. So at this point, really, it's all about, you know, are you getting players that you've prioritized for a long time, or are you missing out on some guys and having to go to backup plans? And so, Tennessee's class, you know, they're ranked, you know, they're battling for a top 20 spot right now. That's where they are. But the reality is they still have several spots to fill. So they do have an opportunity to still add to their class and maybe climb in the rankings a little bit. But the key to that is they're waiting on some answers from guys that they've been recruiting for a long time. If they get some of those guys, as they did this week with Omari Thomas, just outside the top 100 prospect nationally from over in Memphis, a guy that's been one of the very top players on their board for almost 2 years now. So if they can continue to win some of those battles like that down the stretch, I think they'll be happy with their class regardless of where it ranks, you know, whether that's 14th, 17th, somewhere a little higher or a little lower than either of those, what we'll see. But I think that's kind of where they are right now, around the top 20, but battling to maybe squeeze into the top 15 if things can really fall their way. And that includes, you know, some other teams around them, you know, really in the rankings that so much of the, what goes into that is, what are teams around you doing? Are they adding players? Are they almost finished? How are their numbers looking? All that kind of plays into it as well.
Well, and that's the problem. I mean, if you're Arkansas, if you're Vanderbilt, if you're South Carolina, if you're Missouri, if you're Ole Miss and you're talking about that, then fine. But if you're trying to become what you used to be, and you look at, say, let's start with Georgia, a team that was in the national championship game in 2017, back-to-back years is number 5 as far as in the final college football playoff rankings, and a team that's certainly way ahead of you as far as recruiting, not just this year, but last year. The bottom line is that how are you going to jump them if they keep beating you in this recruiting game? And so that, if you're happy, if you're Jeremy Pruitt and you're happy with a top 20 finish, then you've got a problem. You're not being paid to be happy with the top 20 finish if you're in the SEC. You're not, I mean, and that's where the problem is.
Yeah, and there's the old chicken or egg argument. You've got to be able to beat them either on the field ahead of schedule, or you've got to be able to beat them in recruiting to catch up to them on the field. You do have to somewhat overachieve on the field or in recruiting before the other can follow suit sometimes. I think one of the things Tennessee is battling, maybe some damage from that 1-4 start. You know, they were in the mix for some guys that in some cases have maybe fallen by the wayside. In other cases, they've rebounded and been fine. But, you know, you never know, and there's no way to really quantify how much that slow start might have hurt them, because I think there were at least a couple guys maybe that sort of fell off with Tennessee during that slow start to the season. So you never know how much that might have damaged things. The other thing is, it's just a tough place to be in the SEC sometimes. Butch Jones ran into this. I think he had a couple good early recruiting classes at Tennessee, but they were both very large classes that also, I think, contributed to how highly ranked they were. But there were some really good players in those classes. But his final two classes at Tennessee both finished outside the top 15. So I think just the reality is you're kind of recruiting against Tennessee's recent history until you can prove you're a team that's up there battling for SEC championships. So to some degree, I think you just have to kind of keep working on the roster, evaluate well, hit on a lot of the players that you do sign, don't, you know, minimize attrition, and they're just now getting back to the point where they'll have 85 scholarship players and feel pretty good about the roster once this class gets in there next year. So maybe after this year, you know, you can start to expect more results in recruiting. In the meantime, you know, Tennessee kind of is what it is right now. They won 5 games last year, 7 this year, and they're getting there, but I think it may be another year or so before you can really expect to start competing in some of those recruiting battles that they haven't been winning the last few years.
I'm looking at the latest player rankings and looking at the top 10. 6 of these individuals have committed. There's still 4, you know, availability spots out there. But, you know, say top 10, top 20, top 30 of players that have yet committed. Does Tennessee have a chance for any of those?
I think the big one to still watch right now, and there aren't many still out there Tennessee's involved with, the main one, though, Darnell Washington, 5-star athlete and
right,
really a tight end, but he's an athlete because he could play offensive tackle or defensive line if he needed to, but a guy fully intends to play tight end in college. 6'7", 261 pounds, just a big guy that a lot of teams have made a huge priority down the stretch, and it looks like, you know, kind of a classic SEC battle, even though he's from Las Vegas. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee are the teams you kind of hear the most about leading up to his announcement, which won't be until the Under Armour game on January 2nd. But we, you know, still have some important visits for him to take, or an important visit for him to take this weekend to Tennessee, and then some important in-home visits for him with coaches this week leading up to that. So a lot to follow there. And Georgia has been viewed as the favorite for a few months for him.
Right.
But Tennessee has kind of been lying in the weeds and has a shot there. So if they can pull an upset there, that's an example of one of those guys who maybe could be a big variable in where Tennessee finishes in the rankings. Get him. A top 15 finish looks much more likely, if not a sure thing, very possible. And then if you don't get him, you know, it's probably a little bit tougher to climb into the top 15. So we'll see if Tennessee can land a guy like Darnell Washington, but they've at least given themselves a shot, and we'll be getting him on campus for the 5th time this weekend. So if there's an upset out there, I think he's the one.
Yeah, it'd be something like Illinois, 31-point underdogs to Wisconsin and beating them, because right now, based on 24/7 Sports, 83% chance he's headed to Georgia. By the way, looking at the latest team rankings, you know, we look at all the teams from the SEC with 10 in the top 24, but Alabama right now has moved to the top of the list with a week to go, followed by Clemson, LSU, Ohio State, and Texas A&M. A&M is a good example of somebody like with Jimbo Fisher. He's shown that he can certainly, he knows how to recruit. He did that at Florida State. But for the Aggies, the fans to be happy with somebody who's making $7.5 million a year, you got to be able to out recruit some of these teams, then to, you know, to build up your roster that way, and then get them, you know, and out start out coaching some folks if you want to contend in the West. Do you feel like this Alabama at number one, is that going to stay, or is it going to be neck and neck with Clemson?
I think it's going to be pretty close down the stretch. Now, Alabama always closes strong. I think they're in position to have a chance to finish up there. But this is a historically strong class for Clemson, and depending on just how it finishes out, I still could see Clemson having the number one class. At last check, I want to say they have 6 5-star prospects already.
Yeah, 6.
In this class.
Clemson has 6 5-stars. Alabama 3, and the difference is the fact that 20 of the 24 commitments for Alabama are either 4-stars or 5-stars. Where that number, yep, is only 15 of 21 for Clemson.
Yeah, and Clemson is notorious. They'll take early commitments from guys and stand by them. They expect loyalty from their commitments. They don't allow commitments to visit other schools. Unlike a lot of players, unlike a lot of teams, they're very firm on that. So that leads to them sometimes taking guys early who end up being 3-stars, but they feel totally comfortable with their evaluations on them. So there's less sort of trading in and out in their class to upgrade and things like that. But yeah, it's a really good class for Clemson. I think the quality overall, top to bottom, might give Alabama a chance to finish number one. You know, even Georgia, do they have a say in it toward the end? You know, there's some teams that still might be within striking distance, but I do think Alabama has a good shot at finishing number one.